Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Adam Copeland is a pretty amazing individual. You have very likely heard of Adam Copeland with his standout career in the WWE as a world wrestler. He's won 11 world titles, and he went from his long wrestling career into movies and then on into TV. Recently, he's been in the series The Haven and in the 2015 series The Flash, starring as Adam Smasher. That Adam Copeland, whom you likely know, is not the Adam Copeland that is with us today. Couldn't get him, so I looked, and you know, and sure enough, there was another one with a Twin Cities address, so I called him up. This Adam Copeland is actually a pastor, a religion professor. He's a writer, thinker, speaker about how we live with our money and probably making a bigger difference in our world than the other Adam Copeland, and definitely a lot better looking. So let's welcome Adam Copeland. Have a seat. Come on. So anyway, you're in all this money stuff, and you know, I think Terry.
Oh, and wrestling.
And the wrestling, yep. Yeah. You're in. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I know you think about this, like how we live with our money and what it has to. Not so much necessarily about money, but the attitudes. Terry was talking about mm-hmm. this generosity and gratitude that's in behind it. My question that came to me when I was thinking about having you here was. The Bible talks a lot about money, generosity, gratitude, that stuff. In fact, mm-hmm. just a couple weeks ago, I was preaching, and I made that statement that Jesus talks more about money than Jesus talks about prayer, about love, mm-hmm. and things like that. Out of the whole Bible, what would you say is, like, what is the standout verse, the standout passage about this?
Yeah. Well, let me just first. Your first segment today really rocked. Just fantastic. It was just, I'd say it was a wonderful cycle. Of this show.
All right.
Jesus talks about money more than anything except the kingdom of God. And so it's hard to pick one passage, but the one that comes to mind is less about money than about sharing. So there's a story about Jesus sort of feeding the 5,000. And it goes like this. So he's talking to folks that are hanging out, curing people. Healing the sick and after doing the whole preaching thing, and then his disciples are like, dude, the town is a walk away, and so it's about to be dinner time. Why don't you let the people go to the towns and then get dinner? And Jesus says, no, don't you have some food? And they're like, yeah, we only got just 5 loaves and a few fish here. And Jesus says, well, let's share that. And so he prays, and the 5,000 people come up, and actually they're all fed. And then at the end of the story, there's more loaves and fish there than when they began. And there's a number of ways to look at that, but the way I really like to think is, folks, you know, they went out to the went out for the day. They wanted to follow this Jesus guy, and they probably went out with some food, some provisions themselves, and were moved by the experience of hearing Jesus to share those provisions that they had intended for themselves. And so when they went up to gather, to eat from the common meal, they also put a little back in the pot from what they brought. And it ended up that there was more to go around than even they began with. And for me, like, that sort of different thinking about an economy is what Jesus is about. And so it's not about money, but it's about sharing and the generosity that comes through that.
It's about the stuff that money represents, all this stuff that we have that we kind of want to hold on for ourselves. And I think that is an interesting story, and because we have a tendency, a lot of people read that story and just say, well, this is about a miracle that God did. And actually, if it is a miracle that Jesus did, it's the miracle happened in us, you know, and the people, and how are we a part of that kind of life? And
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's about God working through those mixed motives that you're talking about, saying, like, look, I'm going to work with this these sort of beautiful and broken people to bring about more beautiful things. And so it's getting us sort of in the place that together we can share.
That's some good stuff. So where do we get it wrong, us 21st century Americans? Like, we seem to get hung up on this all the time. Where do you think we get stuck that heads us down the wrong road on possessions and wealth and money and generosity and that stuff?
Yeah, and I think it's hard to pick out one thing because it's so much just part about sort of the story we tell ourselves. Sort of it's the American dream. You know, we can earn our way to success and wealth, and that happiness comes in our possessions. Exactly. Yeah, and so it's. It takes a lot of hard work and energy and listening and acting into an alternative story to get us to find another way. And you know, actually, it turns out that in our possessions is not the ultimate value. The ultimate value is in people. And for me, it's in my relationship with God. And that those values are so countercultural today that it takes a lot of energy to work through them. And again, it's this both end. We can never, you know. We're acting in a culture where Thanksgiving is apparently a thing now, you know, and so that's going to necessarily be part of our thought process, and so we try to become parts of communities that make us find another way.
It just feels to me like there's so many things that keep derailing us, you know, and the messages that say, no, it is really about you and what you have, and that's where happiness comes from, just kind of, even though maybe we don't want to go there, we just keep going there. One of our Jacob's Well sayings that we hang on to a lot is that the stuff from God, the stuff that God wants to show us, is counterintuitive, meaning, whoa, I wouldn't really have thought of that. You know, that's surprising, but it makes sense. You know, there's something deep down inside of us that says, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that. I wasn't living that way. I wasn't doing that. But now that I hear that, now that I sense that, there's something inside me that confirms it as true. And I think that's how it is. That's the relationship to our possessions, the sharing, the generosity. I mean, you know, you're running into it. 6,000 people bring their bikes. Well, 7,000, 1,000 you throw away. You know, they're bringing their bikes. It feels good. People want to, you know, and I think we want to do that too.
Yeah, but I think, so at Luther Seminary, I run this like Center for Stewardship Leaders. So it's this sort of fancy churchy word, but it's basically about sort of how do we manage our resources with Christ at the center. And one of the ways that I like to think about it is saying, look, so when we think about prayer, we're doing prayer in some ways to sort of connect with God and share with God, but God also already knows what we're about. So it's also the act of prayer is shaping our lives and shaping our understanding and shaping ourselves to sort of align with what God is about. And so it's this continual process that sort of that makes a change in us. And for me, it's the same thing when we talk about generosity or managing resources or stewardship. It's about making choices in your lives that ends up sort of reshaping who you are and rebranding your relationship with brands in such a way that that you see them as something to manage to give back to the world and give back to God's creation.
That's good. So you're also sort of a social scientist. So, I mean, you look at this from scientific sort of social research perspectives too. What have you also found about generosity and stuff?
So the best thing about being an academic is you get to steal other people's ideas. So there's this awesome book.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that pastors never do that. The beautiful thing about when you're a pastor, you know, once you quote something for the second time, then you don't have to quote it again. You just say, well, it was once said the second, you know, and then you just start claiming yourself.
And so the first two times are to my wife.
So. There you go. Yeah. So it's just, yeah. So I'm actually going to decide this. So Hillary Davidson and Christian Smith have this book. It's called, if I can remember right, The Paradox of Generosity. Giving, we receive. Grasping, we lose. Is that it?
Did he get it right? I can't see it from here. Our monitors okay. not
so,
working.
So the paradox thing. So and basically they found, like, they said this huge mixed method study, and they found that actually the people who live more generous lives, who give of their time, of their resources, of their volunteer hours, who give their that give by any different number of measures, they are the ones who are happier, they live longer, they're healthier, they're less likely to be depressed, they have all these sort of aspects of their lives that are just much better, but they're the people that are giving away their resources. And the same is true in return, that those who sort of have this grasping mentality where things are limited and it's all about keeping things to themselves, that they actually have much less happy lives. And it's, even though they think they can make their lives beneficial, but it's actually those things that they're possessing are you know, having bad effects on them.
I love the word grasping. I mean, it's so tangible. I mean, I can just feel that in myself, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to clutch on and hold on to this stuff. And it reminds me of the two words, miser and miserable. You know, someone who is miserable, the root from that is a miser, someone who keeps things to themselves. And, you know, what could make you more miserable than to, you know, be the sole owner of things and so on. So, I mean, that maybe suggests, but I guess the last question for you is, what's the anecdote? What's the antidote? What's one thing that we could do that we can actually practice, because we're about that, that would help us shift? And we all constantly need that shifting. Mm-hmm. You know, we always have our impure motives, but...
Yeah. Well, for me, and this is... I'm not a branding guy, so this is... I'm just working on this, but... to think of sort of life or whatever as with this short phrase, God made it, I steward it. And to think about, wait a second, so all these beautiful things in life that God made first, you know, God made me, God made my relationships, God made, and God is part of sort of this crazy economic system we have. And then I get to steward that, which means like I get to use this thing for some sort of purposes, and those purposes won't, I think they're not, they're never gonna be without mixed motives, but they're also shouldn't only be about myself. And so thinking about sort of possessions and money as stewarding, as holding for someone else, and making the choices around those for the greater good. And it's sort of, for me, it's constantly trying to, you know, when I get a, you know, a check in the mail, it's thinking, okay, this is awesome. Like. And how I'm going to steward this, and it might be I need to save it for a while, or it might be, you know, I immediately turn around and give it back. But it's thinking about things, possessions, not primarily as my own, but as something that I steward for other people.
I think that's good. And you know, as we head into Christmas, and there's so much of this to think of this, not how are we doing what we're supposed to do or what we have to do, but like how can we share something great from God with another person where it makes a difference. It doesn't necessarily translate into dollars and so on. And we know that. This is why we practice it. Hey, thanks for being with us today. We got some music here from the band, and appreciate having you on the show with us today.
Yeah, I'm glad my people talked to your people, and it worked out.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
You bet.